I want to read four scriptures to you this morning. Two from the Old Testament, two from the New Testament, having to do with the attitude of disobedience. Do you remember last week I told you about the attitude of obedience? This week, the attitude of disobedience. So in Genesis 3, after God has said this, in Genesis chapter 2, it says, "The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." So, here is a command from God in chapter 2. And now, in Genesis chapter 3, it says this, verse 1. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of any tree of the garden? And the woman tells him what God said. And Satan answers, verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And the woman took the fruit and ate and gave to her husband." Now, Exodus chapter 5, verse 1. "And afterward Moses and Aaron came and said unto Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, Let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, Who is the Lord, that I should hearken unto his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, and moreover, I will not let Israel go." Now, John chapter 2, verse 13. "And the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers sitting. And he made a scourge of cords and cast all out of the temple, both the sheep and the oxen, and he poured out the changers' money and overthrew their tables. And to them that sold the doves he said, Take these things hence. Make not my father's house a house of merchandise." Verse 18. "The Jews therefore answered and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things?" And one more scripture in Matthew. Turn back to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, verse 23. "And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching, and said, By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority?" That's enough. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the portions that we have read. Where but from God could such knowledge be presented unto man? Lord, let us know how distasteful it is to the human heart, the natural man. And yet thou hast placed it here, all these portions, telling us about the attitude of disobedience. We pray, Lord, that we shall understand this. Thou dost tell us that there are some things that you love, and there are some things that you hate. And among those, our God, are those who disobey you. So, Father, teach us the attitude contained in these passages, and understanding it, let us eschew it, let us turn from it, let us make our hearts unlike it is possible. And let us be like thy Son, who was always the example that could be followed, whom you could point out from heaven and designate as the one in whom you are well pleased. Our Father, we thank you for this hour in which we can consider these truths. So empower and prepare hearts and cleanse from sin, because thou hast promised that if we confess them, you shall be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse. So fulfill thy promises, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. The Bible does not contain one kind of example, but it contains all kinds of examples, good examples and bad examples. And last week, I gave you an unsurpassed example of an attitude of obedience. Some people never have that attitude in their mind. It's foreign to them. But the attitude that God gave us was that of the centurion. And he was talking to our Savior, and he said, "It is unnecessary for you to come to my house." He said, "I am a man under authority." He knew what it was to have people over him. He was under authority. And he said, "I have under me men that take orders. I say to this one, go, and he goeth. To this servant, come, and he cometh. To this man, do this, and he doeth it." He said, "I understand about authority." And the Lord Jesus marveled, and he congratulated the man and told all those round about the excellency of this example of the centurion. That was an example of an attitude of obedience. Why should I do what God says? Because this is the way things should be. And in this world, you may want to be free. You may want to do what you please. You may not want to have anybody over you, but you always shall have somebody over you. It's been that way from the beginning, and it will be that way at the end. And the only way to live with it without destroying yourself is to learn the attitude of obedience. I am a man under authority, and I have under me servants that take orders. It's just that simple. Somebody is over you, and somebody is under you. You have to ascertain who is over you and who is under you. When you think you're over everybody else and everybody else is under you, that's wrong. And at times, you think everybody is over you and nobody is under you. That's wrong. Because the Bible says, every man ought to think of himself not more highly than he ought to think, but so to think soberly, according as God has given to each man a measure of faith. And so if you are a mother, you understand you are over your children. And at the same time, if you are a private, then a sergeant or a lieutenant or a captain is over you. It's just that simple. There are those that are under you and there are those that are over you. And the centurion understood it. It's a principle of life that must be accepted, but you'll find that some people never accept it. They're rebellious in spirit. They're bellicose. They will fight against anyone who tries to exercise authority. And because of that, these examples that I've read are as good examples of an attitude of disobedience as that of the centurion was an excellent example of obedience. The attitude, not only doing right or wrong, there are some people that do what they have to do, just like you see people along the road, cleaning up the road. But just down the road, you'll see a man with a shotgun in his hand, watching over them. Why are they cleaning up the road? Because they want to? No, because they have a guard who's there and makes them do it. That's not the attitude of obedience. That's enforced obedience. But the centurion understood. And once he understood, then he expected people under him to take orders. And he expected when people over him gave orders, he expected to obey orders. He had the attitude of obedience. But in the examples I gave to you today, they were examples of disobedience. Now, they were found of all things in every category of life. You'll find that commands are given, but when the commands are given, they are not always those who are prompt to obey or who think there should be any reason that they should obey these commands given by God. But the commands are given to these classes of people. First of all, a command is given to innocents, our parents. Remember this. Before sin ever came into the world, it said, God commanded Adam and Eve, you shall not eat of this tree. You understand? You say, before sin came into the world, there were still commands given. That's the very thing that God insists on. When there is no sin, man is not free to do what he pleases, but there is one thing God said you cannot do. It's always been that way, I told you. And when we get to heaven, there will still be the commands of those that are over you and those that are under you. In the kingdom, it says, be thou over 10 cities. You rule over 10 cities. There is always going to be somebody that's over you and somebody that is under you. And the command, first of all, was given to innocents, our parents. The second command was given to a tyrant, Pharaoh. The third command was given to permissive leaders who tolerated sin in the temple. And the fourth command was given to erring teachers who had led the children of Israel astray. So you say, well, isn't that remarkable? Here are people that do not know sin. They are innocent and they are in the garden. And God says, you cannot do this. But here is a tyrant, Pharaoh, and he has Israel enslaved. And God commands him, let my people go. And then we have our Savior taking that scourge of cords and cleansing the temple of the money changers and those that sold the animals. He said, take these things hence. And also, when our Savior was teaching in the temple, it says, the chief priests and the elders of the people came and said, by what authority do you do these things? And who gave you authority to do these things? You see, four examples. And every one of them is an attitude of disobedience, rebellion, and does anyone know what the name Nimrod means? The name Nimrod means we will rebel. And so many people could have the name written over their character, Nimrod. Just like the Lord looked at Peter when he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, you are Peter. He gave him a name that characterized Peter. And Nimrod, we will rebel. That name suited him. And I wonder what name God would give you. Obedient or disobedient? What is the attitude that is in your heart? Yes, we do what we have to do, but are we like those prisoners that are doing it, and there's a man behind us with a gun, and then we understand just why they are doing it? Let me make a confession. As a young boy, I did not always want to do what my parents told me to do. But I confess this. Never at any moment in my life did I doubt that they had the authority to tell me what to do, and they had the authority to discipline me if I did not do it. Isn't that remarkable? Is that attitude in your heart? That when my parents said, you may not go downtown, you may not stay out this late, I did not like what they told me, but I never once in my lifetime, and I wasn't a Christian until I was 17, 19 years old, I never doubted their authority to tell me what I could do and what I could not do, and I never doubted their authority to discipline me. That's not so today. The attitude of the young people is that their parents have no authority to tell them what to do. And not only so, but those that are around about us, if I treat it as I was as a child, if some of the things they did to me were reported to the authorities, they might put my parents in jail. Because authority and obedience are known today. It's like this. It's so absurd. Here was a person that has raped, that has killed, that has stolen, and they're supposed to be prisoners, and they put them in jail. But now, why, we let these people out of jail. We can't be too harsh on these prisoners. I can't understand that attitude. If I had robbed you, the only thing I would think of would be to pay you back. But people don't think of that today. And if I had raped someone, I would feel guilty for the rest of my life. But no, let that person loose on society. And if I've killed you, well, we can't take that life. Let them stay in jail perhaps 5 or 10 years and then let them go. I've never understood that attitude. And yet, people are trying to drive that attitude into the hearts of men. And that is the attitude of disobedience. That is the attitude of no punishment for wrongdoing. And it is something that has been coming up in the Bible. Examples of it from the very beginning. God said this, if you eat of the fruit, you're going to die. And Satan said, you're not going to die. You understand that? God said, if you do wrong, you're going to die. And Satan said, you're not going to die. And God said this in Genesis 9, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. But if you do not think you're made in the image of God, then kill. Get rid of you. You're unimportant. But if there is a God and man is made in his likeness and image, then if man kills, God said, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. But Satan says, no, no. God says, yes. And that is the attitude of disobedience. All right. Here is Pharaoh. Moses and Aaron came down with this command. Thus saith the Lord, that's the word Jehovah, thus saith Jehovah, the God of Israel, let my people go. And I'm so thankful for this confession of Pharaoh. He said, who is Jehovah that I should hearken to his voice? I will not let Israel go. I know not Jehovah. Thank God. That is a clear-cut stand. He said, who is Jehovah that I should hearken to his voice to let Israel go? I know not Jehovah. Thank God for people like that. If they are atheists, if they are those who say, I reject any divine authority, there is no such thing. I know no God. I can accept that. I can understand atheists saying, you have no right to tell me what is moral, because I make up my own mind. If there is no God, that's true. A man has a right to believe and to do anything he pleases if there is no God. If there is no right and wrong, he decides what is right and what is wrong, and he'll do anything he pleases as long as he has power to do it and not suffer punishment. But if there is a God, then it comes to an end. But that attitude is not in man. Here is Pharaoh, who was his own God, and he said, who is Jehovah that I should hearken to his voice? I know not Jehovah. That's the attitude of man today. Who is God? I know not God. I have no intention of doing what God says. And so if you bring the Ten Commandments before them, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, that means nothing to them. Who is God? What authority does he have to tell me what to do? And so this is the attitude of the godless And now I will bring this to your attention. The first one who says, has God told you you shouldn't eat of any of the trees of the garden? Do you know who said that? Well, that came from Satan. And who was it that said, I know not the Lord? Well, that was Pharaoh, a godless man. And who were the ones when Christ cleansed the temple said, show us a sign that you're doing these things? Why, they were the enemies of Christ. Religious leaders, but false religious leaders, just like the false teachers who said, by what authority do you do these things? And who gave you the authority to do these things? I want you to understand that all of these examples of disobedience are satanic and are from those that are of this world and the false religious leaders. Now let me ask you this. Where does your disobedience come from? You think any time you disobey that it comes from God? Well, of course not. This is the only confession of disobedience that comes from God, and you be sure that you're in harmony with Peter when you do. When men say, you cannot do this, you cannot do that. Or when man says, you must do this, you must do that, and all of these things are contrary to the mind of God, you say with Peter, we must obey God rather than man. And if man says, you must, like a young medical doctor came to me, and he was asking me about abortion, and I showed him some verses of scripture, and he said, thank you. They registered, and I trust before God that he accepted me. And because of that, if someone came to him and said, I demand that you perform an abortion on this patient, he would say, I must obey God rather than man. And then he would say, well, those that are in authority tell me to do this, and I must do it. There's nothing that I can do. When Peter was told, you're not to preach Jesus Christ, he said, I must obey God rather than man. That is the attitude of obedience, not disobedience. You have no right to civil disobedience unless it's a direct violation of the commandment of God. If man says kill, you have a right to say God says not to kill. And if man says let killers go, you have a right to say God says whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. But you be sure you know what God says. There are so many who will find something in the Bible and say, this is what God says. But God never said that. He never intended it. Like this. How many times when you tell sinners something that's in the Bible, something they're doing wrong, they'll say, judge not, that ye be not judged. That's a verse of scripture that more sinners know than John 3:16. Tell them that they're doing something wrong. Judge not, that ye be not judged. If you ask them where it was, they wouldn't know where it was. But they know that principle. Why do they say that? It's because they have the attitude of disobedience. They want to do what they please. You see? But all of these commands are given by God, and all the disobedience to the command is of Satan and of the sinful nature that is in the heart of man. And this is what is so sad. If those who are innocent can be deceived by Satan into disobeying God, how much more easily is it possible for us who have sinful natures to be led astray by Satan? The Lord Jesus could not. But here is Eve in her innocency, and God said, this is wrong. You may not do this. Satan said, this is right. You may do this. And he deceived Eve. It said Adam was not deceived, but Eve was deceived. So understand that this deception and this disobedience springs from a persuasion that is satanic, and it comes from my fallen nature, and unless I listen to God, I'm going to have this attitude of disobedience. Oh, that I could learn that there are people over me, and there are people under me. In the service, when I was in the Navy, at least I knew it. I could see a man with no stripes. I could see a man with one stripe, two stripes, three stripes. It was no question then whether you obeyed or not. a corporal was under a sergeant, and a sergeant was under a lieutenant. It was all clearly before your eyes. The insignia that he wore said, I am over you. The insignia you wore said, you are under him. But if we had spiritual discernment, we could know that today. The Bible says, know those that are over you. Obey them that are over you. And you say, who is over me? You see, in the Navy, I could look at a man's arm and tell whether he was over me or whether I was over him. Just that simple. But today, and in the church, they're trying to do away with it, you see. We're all one. It is not that Christ is the head of every man, and the man is the head of the woman, and the woman has, women have children, and children obey your parents. That isn't the way it is anymore, but it's always been of God. And so remember this, that in the scripture, there is an attitude of obedience and an attitude of disobedience. And thank God, if I do disobey, I am ashamed and my conscience bothers me and I know I've done wrong. But if my attitude is like Pharaoh's, who is the Lord that I should hearken to his voice? I know not the Lord. That's the attitude of disobedience. So how could Pharaoh ever feel bad about doing wrong? Until the judgment of God fell on him. And when it did, he said, I have sinned. When did he say that? He said it when he was crushed by the judgment of God. But the moment the judgment of God was removed, Pharaoh hardened his heart again. Why? Because never was there a change of attitude in his heart. His attitude was always one of disobedience. And it's the way in the world today, and sad to say, it's the way of many of the children of God today. Now, I told you some are well-meaning for this reason. You remember when that leper was cleansed? The Savior said, tell no one. Go show yourselves to the priest. But the leper went out and told everybody. Now, if Christ said, tell no one, and the leper told everybody, is that obedience or disobedience? You say, that's disobedience, but he meant well. Of course he meant well. But it's disobedience. You understand? It's disobedience. And at the same time, when the Lord said to the disciples, beginning in Jerusalem, and preach to the Gentiles, when they refused to preach to the Gentiles, was that obedience or disobedience? You say that was disobedience. Why, of course it was. Now, that's one kind. There is out and out disobedience like Pharaoh. But there is well-meaning disobedience like the examples I've given you. But this is the worst kind. Do you know that you're not to lie and you're not to steal? You say yes. Well, Ananias and Sapphira sold something they had and they kept back part of the price. And they came to put on a good show and said, we are giving everything to God. And this, Peter said, how hath Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Do you see that disobedience? And Satan filled the heart of Ananias and Sapphira to lie. Here is disobedience. Now, there is a disobedience that is well-meaning. There is a disobedience through ignorance, the Apostle Paul, when the high priest said, smite him on the mouth. The Apostle Paul said, you whited wall, God will smite you. And they said, how dare you speak against the Lord's high priest? Paul said, I did not know it was the high priest. He said, it said you shall not bring an accusation against the ruler of your people. You see? At times, you're disobedient and you do not know it. At times, you're disobedient and you're well-meaning when you disobey. At other times, you're like Ananias and Sapphira. You know what's right, but you do not do what is right. And what's behind it all? Peter said, Satan hath filled your heart. And at times, Eve was deceived by looking at that fruit. You see, when God says you're not to do something, it's always for your good. But Satan will convince you that it is not for your good. It is for your harm. And there will be a setback if you obey God, and there will be an advance if you obey Satan. Listen, God had said, if you eat it, you're going to die. Satan said, if you eat it, you're going to get wisdom. Now, whom should we believe? Tell me, do you know anybody personally who's never died? Do you know anybody personally who's not going to die? You say, I've heard of Enoch and Elijah. Yes, but you haven't known them personally. And do you know anybody, unless the Lord comes, who's not going to die? You say, no. God said, you're going to die. Who told the truth? You say, God did. Satan said, you shall not surely die. Who told a lie? Well, why listen to Satan? Every time God has a command, it is true and it is good. And if you disobey that command, it's because Satan has deceived you into believing that what God says is good is evil. And I promise you this, that every command that God ever gives is always for your good, never for your harm. You say, but I want to know more. Yes, you want to know more. And so here are our parents in innocency, not knowing good and evil. Now, Satan told the truth. He said, you'll know good and evil if you eat of that fruit. And they ate of it, and did they not know good and evil? Yes. But what control did they have over the evil? They had no control over the evil, and neither do you. It says, there are those that are wise unto that which is good, but some want to be wise unto that which is evil. May God keep out of my mind all of these books that are coming out. They will tell you all about witchcraft. They will tell you about the inroads of evil. Let me know what is good. And knowing absolutely what is good, if I see something that is contrary to it, I don't have to know all of these things of evil. I would have you be wise unto that which is good, simple unto that which is evil. But Satan says this, you'll know good and evil. Yes. And the more we know about these things, the more we are enticed to enter into these things. And we look at the apple, or the orange, or the pomegranate, or what kind of fruit it was, and it's beautiful. You see? Now why did God do that? Why didn't he make it an ugly, prickly piece of fruit that would hurt you when you picked it up? Because there would be no temptation. That's why. Nobody that has horrible, suppose someone set spoiled food that was rancid before you and said, now eat, would that be any temptation to you? You say, of course not. And so if there's going to be a temptation, there has to be something attractive about it. And so God made the fruit that was pleasant to the eye, good for food, good to make one wise, but God said, you're not to eat it. And for that reason, Eve set aside the one reason that God gave, don't do it, I told you so, you're going to die. She listened to what Satan said about it, and she ate it. And you are in the condition you are, and I am in, because of that act of disobedience. For by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. Why? Because they listened to Satan's description of sin, rather than God's description of sin. But whenever God gives us a command, it is always for our good. I would like to be a descendant of Adam and Eve in a garden, never having experienced sin. Instead, I have to wait until I die or Christ descends from heaven and I'm changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye and my evil nature is gone to have such an experience. But I would like to be in a world that was sinless, but I'm in a world that is sinful. But everything that God commands is always good for us or for his glory. He said, let my people go. Why? That they may go into the wilderness and worship me, sacrifice unto me, have a feast unto me. And so when God commands something, it's for his glory. And you'll never obey God unless you understand what the word God means. How could anybody say, who is God that he should tell me what to do? Don't you see that contradiction? Who is God that he should tell me what to do? If he is God, he has every right to tell me what to do. But now, if you're an atheist, that's fine. You're exempt until you have to stand before God, your maker. Who is the Lord that I should obey him? I know not the Lord. But you confess that you do know the Lord. You know the Lord as your Savior. And therefore, anything he commands you to do, it is for your good or his glory or at the same time, Christ. When he took that scourge of cords and drove them out of the temple, he was doing away with corruption that permissive leaders had allowed to come in. Now, the ones who brought it in didn't like it. But what about all of those who wanted to worship God in spirit and in truth? They were delighted to have this driven out of the temple, and they understood that it was for their good and the glory of God. But not unless they had the attitude of obedience. And who would dislike the truth from heaven being spread to the darkened minds of men? Only those who taught that darkness. Those are the ones. They come to the Savior and they say to him, by what authority do you do these things? Who gave you this authority? The Lord Jesus was there from heaven, shining with the light of truth upon the heart of man. And those leaders of men who had misguided them said, who gave you this authority? In a word, I will tell you. The heavens were opened, and the Father from heaven said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Peter would talk, God said, hear you him who gave Christ authority to tell you what to do. The Father from heaven gave him that authority to tell you what to do. And so God forbids, you shall not eat. He commands, let my people go. He intrudes by driving out of the temple those that are there. And he instructs, and he minds my business, and all of these things he has every right to do. A God who forbids and commands and intrudes in my life and tells me how to live. And unless I have the attitude of obedience, I will never accept these things. And any time we have the attitude of disobedience, remember the examples that God brings before our eyes. May God grant that our attitude shall be one of obedience, not disobedience. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, forgive us for ever listening to the voice and persuasive powers of Satan when we know clearly from thy word the truth from heaven. Forgive us for ever saying to Jesus, what authority do you have to tell me how to live, to tell me what to do? Help us to understand, Father, that his words were words that you gave him to speak. Drive from us all that which is of the flesh and that which is of Satan, and let the mind of Christ be ours, and may the Spirit of God control us. Hear us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.